Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 766, and we're recording it on December 18th, 2025, to be released the week of Christmas at some point. So who knows when you're listening to it, but we're glad you are listening to it. I'm Martin Spriggs, a show about technology and ministry. That's what you've joined here. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Good morning, Martin, and Merry Christmas to you. Always an exciting time of year to finally make it to the big event and just get to relax and enjoy that baby in the manger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful news.
So what we always do for this show is we do a little bit of an early recording, as you may have noticed on the intro, because we don't want to record on Christmas Day. We have other things to do. And one of the things, the other things that we always do is we try and find a nice little interview for you. We kind of look around the Center for Mission and Ministry and find people we haven't talked to. Usually those are newer folks, and sometimes they've been here a little bit. But we realize that one of the maybe big projects that everybody in the education space and Wells circles is interested in is the new Christ-Light replacement curriculum. And it so happens that we have never had Melanie Giddings on the show before. She is our curriculum coordinator in the Lutheran Schools office. So we asked her to see if she would join us and talk a little bit about the curriculum project and some of the technologies involved. And she was gracious enough to do that the other day. So we are going to share with you our conversation with Melanie Giddings. We are super happy and pleased to have Melanie Giddings joining us today. She is the curriculum coordinator for our Lutheran Schools office in Wells Schools. Welcome, Melanie. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Super neat that you could join us for this Christmas edition of Wells Tech. And we try and bring on a newish, I don't know that you got, we could even call you newish employee anymore, but an area of ministry that we really like to get on and talk about, because we talk about education all the time. And so talking about one of the biggest projects in the Lutheran Schools office is going to be fun. So first of all, before we jump into some of that stuff, why don't you take a moment to introduce yourself to our audience, kind of what your current role is, where you've spent some of your past ministry opportunities, a little bit to let people know who Melanie is.
Sure. So I feel like I've spent my entire life in Lutheran schools. I went to kindergarten through 12th grade, Lutheran elementary school, high school, went on to Martin Luther College, graduated from there, got my master's from Wisconsin Lutheran College. And now I am in my 21st year of education with our Lutheran schools. 13 of those years were in the classroom, teaching little ones from three-year-olds all the way up to 12th graders. And then most recently, if you can call that, I realized this morning that this is my 13th year of serving in some sort of curriculum coordinator role. I had spent a little time at the Lutheran Elementary School level as a curriculum coordinator. The majority of my time, 7 years, were spent with the Fox Valley Lutheran Schools up in the Appleton area, supporting those 17 grade schools that partner with the high school. And now this is my third year in the Lutheran Schools office for Synod, serving as curriculum coordinator. The main role that I have is what Martin kind of gave a hint at, is we are working on a major project for what comes after Christ-Light for our theology, our Word of God instruction in our schools.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the perhaps not super smart question of what exactly a curriculum coordinator is. What did you do for those elementary schools when you were in that role?
So most of the time, what I was doing was I was leading different teams in different subject areas to help them determine what were the learning targets for kindergarten all the way up to eighth grade, making that connection to ninth grade transition into the high school. And then we would also do review of different instructional materials to support those learner targets that we had created for our students.
Awesome. So now moving forward in this role that you've been in now 3 years, tell us about the curriculum project at the Synod level and what its objectives and goals are.
Well, what we needed to start with first was really taking a look at what the needs are in our schools for what we desire for instruction in the Word of God for our students. So a lot of surveys were taken, even some done before my role began, just collecting what do we like currently about instruction for our students, and then what are some of the additional needs that we have for our schools as well. So after looking at that data, then our first team that I have been able to work with has been the team that's kind of been setting the vision, laying out the blueprints for what we are going to create for what's replacing Christlight. So a lot of time has been looked at, can we do one program? Should we have programs that fit the different needs of our learners and our schools? And so what we ultimately determine is that we're going to be creating four levels of programs for our schools: early childhood, elementary age students, a middle school program, and then a high school program as well. So
Okay.
we're about at a transition spot that we're going to be going into in 2026, which is writing and production.
That's what I was going to ask you. What are those milestones? What does 2026 look like for you?
Yeah, so we have a lot of teams that are going to be coming down to Waukesha to get some training to learn about the writing process that we have set up. So four different teams for those four different levels. It's going to be about 40 different writers that we have. Some are going to help us with really fleshing out what each and every lesson is going to look like. We have another level of writers that are going to make sure that for each program level, we're maintaining a unity in voice with having so many writers. We need to make sure that there's a oneness that feel to it as well. And then as we kind of are starting to leave 2026, the writers will start working with the editing team from Northwestern Publishing House. So those that will check some of the theological, doctrinal, scriptural pieces that we want to make sure comes out in our materials. The grammar police, NPH has have those people employed to make sure that everything linguistically looks good. And we do have for these programs, something a little bit different that came out in the survey results is the need to be able to provide some considerations for our educators when they're serving in different ministry contexts than maybe what they grew up in. So we have a different team called our consultant team. So someone that's going to help us with thinking about serving those from urban ministries, someone who's going to help us think about when we have those with cross-cultural ministries that they serve in, even a consultant that's going to help us think about considerations when we have those special learners in our classrooms as well. So really trying to think about what the needs are of our classroom teachers for today, and then providing some avenues and some pathways for them to consider utilizing with their students in the classroom.
Okay, exciting.
Wow. That's a lot of people, Melanie. It sounds like herding cats almost. I can't imagine pulling all of those different resources into one. What kind of things need to come together to make that kind of project successful?
One element that we've been trying to maintain and then purposely and intentionally plan for is having different points where we have focus groups come in just to make sure that we're staying on track to what the needs of our schools and our centers are. So we've had two of those focus groups already come into Synod, just some fresh eyes. I have learned with working with curriculum and teams is that sometimes the team gets so invested with it that everything makes sense because we have been with it, the program or the project, for so long. The fresh eyes coming in help us just take a step back and reflect and be like, oh yeah, that would be a good addition for us to make, or we need to explain that further. So focus groups have been a big part. Another piece that we have been trying to intentionally plan for is strategic surveying of our teachers throughout the year. So just getting little bits of input on things that are important, but they're also things that we realize we won't be the ones using them using these programs necessarily. So just getting the real life practical parts of what we're hoping from the called workers that are out in the field. And a third way that we are really trying to make sure that we always have that listening ear is just the people that we're assembling to our teams that are working. I really like to have multiple perspectives represented. So making sure that we have a member who has been serving in urban ministries or cross-cultural settings, some of our outlier districts as well, and making sure that this is really a curriculum and a project that's going to support a lot of different ministry contexts. I call it the bendy pool noodle. So you have your framework, and then how does it bend, and how does it flex to different areas of ministry and locations that we have in our synod?
Cool.
Bendy pool noodle. I like
Right.
it.
Write it down.
Yep.
Of course, the Wells Tech audience would be interested in kind of what this looks like in our digital age. Christlight has had many forms and uses over the years, but this is probably the first opportunity to really go digital. What does a new curriculum look like from a digital perspective? How is that changing the landscape and how we're putting this together?
Well, one thing I want to assure everyone out there is that there are going to be print materials. Like, you still can order your print teacher's edition. The majority of the student materials that they're going to interact with are in the print format. But when we're thinking about the different subject areas that are out there, math and social studies, science, gains have been made in some of those teacher materials that are able to enhance instruction. So thinking about having a digital platform that have slide decks that are already built for each lesson and each unit, having those specifically at the middle school and the high school level be editable versions, because we know that teachers like to be able to adjust those to the local ministry context. Even in your preparation for the lesson, being able to have and utilize some of the digital books that NPH have, some of those commentaries and the People's Bible that we have, so that if you're prepping to teach Romans, if you're prepping to really dig into the ministry of Jesus, you have the ability to just click on buttons within your digital teacher platform and be able to review some of those doctrinal pieces, some of those scriptural pieces that we all studied in our doctrinal ministry certification classes that we took. So just really trying to think about those materials that are going to assist our teachers in the presentation, in the preparation of materials, even thinking about special learners are in our classroom, building in the audio capabilities so that we could have the stories being able to be read to our students so that they're able to track the words and they're able to see maybe the tracking of the words up on the screen and then being able to hear it as well. Just trying to think about those multiple different ways that we can support our teachers and also support our learners in the classroom.
So it sounds like a lot of resources and brain power to put all this together. Tell us about your timeline, your launch, what kind of material changes in the current curriculum are there, and when people can expect to see them.
So with the timeline, we're just finishing up our phase one, which has been all of the design phase, where we're really thinking really deeply, really intentionally about what will each program, what will each lesson, what will each component look like. We're moving into the writing phase. Our first team is going to be starting in February. The other teams will be starting a little bit later, into late spring, early summer, June, July-ish. And then they need time to write. They need time to write. They need time to be able to get feedback on what they're writing. So we're looking to try to transition in the second part of the year into more of those, taking some of those earlier lessons, getting them to our editing teams, our consultant teams, so that they can provide feedback and massage those lessons and units even further. I am already starting work with our production team with Northwestern Publishing House so that we can get things built on the back end so that all of the words and the text that's written can be already being moved over to what the modules and the unit templates and the lesson templates are going to look like. And then just being able to get that all designed and layout, get the graphics in there, any illustrations we might need. Being able to adjust that to tech, that's going to take us into 27 to do all of that. And then the goal is that during 2028, either the spring semester, most likely for early childhood or elementary at that time, and then the fall semester, looking at middle school, high school programming, to be able to run some pilots. We'd like to be able to get some feedback from classroom teachers that are around our synod, in the Midwest, but our outlier districts as well, in really large ministry contexts, but also smaller ministry contexts, just to see how all of the materials work in those classrooms and what adjustments we can make with that. So thinking if we're doing that in 2028, giving us some time for some revision as well. What we'd like to do is we'd like to do a staggered release of the programs. So looking at targeting 2029, 2030, that our early childhood and our elementary program would be available for schools to implement. And then the following year, 2030, 2031, to be able to have the middle school and the high school programming ready to implement in our schools as well. And one other added piece, and this is just my experience with rolling out materials, instructional programs, resources with teachers from those years at the elementary school level, and then my time with Fox Valley Lutheran Schools is that we are planning to provide different training and different support items that we can take around to our districts so that teachers feel like they are getting the support on how do I navigate this digital program? What does a lesson look like? It'll have that before, during, and after feel that we've always had, but just how do I maximize these different materials so that I can be more informed when I'm selecting and choosing what I use with my students as well. So that'll be ready to
Exciting.
go in 29 and 2030 as well.
Exciting. Long process, but well worth it. Is there an
Yes.
what name should we attach to the program? Has that been decided yet?
It is in the works. I cannot share with you
Aha.
today. I
Teaser.
know.
Perfect.
I know it's a teaser. So I'm hoping that early 2026 that we will be able to send and share a video update with everyone on what the name is. But right now we have a name that we are seeking copyright and permissions on. And as soon as we have that, then I can go to our working with our production communications team at Wells and be able to create a video share out to all of our called workers and our lay people as well with what the new name is, but it is coming. It is
Start,
coming.
yeah, starting to get them excited about it. Awesome. Perfect. A little after Christmas, Christmas. All right. Molly, thanks so much for your time and your work. I'm excited to see what comes out of the project, and I'm sure all of our teachers are eagerly anticipating that as well. But thanks for all you do. Have a very blessed Christmas, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melanie, for joining us. That was enlightening. I learned a few things, even though I've been fairly involved with the project. And it's neat to have somebody so experienced at the helm trying to figure out what that curriculum is going to look like.
You know, that was my takeaway as well, Martin. I think we marvel, obviously, at this time of year at the birth of Christ. We marvel at the gifts that God gives the church. And Melanie is certainly one of those gifts. You could tell with her expertise just shining through
Yeah.
and all that she's doing. And what a blessing to have her heading up this initiative and organizing so many different
Oh, my
facets
word,
of this
yes.
development.
So 2026 will be a banner year for the curriculum project where they're really beginning to make some progress, and we'll be excited to maybe loop back with her and hear about some of the things that are being decided and what the digital side of it especially might be looking like too. So all that should come into focus as 2026 gets underway.
Plus a name. We'll be looking forward to that name,
Yeah, that was a
Melanie.
nice
Can't wait.
teaser there. Appreciated that.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Sally, do we want to talk about our Christmas coloring book contest?
Well, I think that would be awesome, Martin. Many who listen are probably aware that we've had a lot of artificial intelligence in our conversation over the past year. And that's still carrying through with an event or a contest that we announced on the last show, where we're asking people to use artificial intelligence to come up with a coloring book page, kind of a crowdsourced effort at making a Christmas coloring book. We think it'll give you experience with artificial intelligence and maybe some more confidence and ideas about ways that you can use it. And I was super excited to already have some entries from our friends in Fox Lake, Wisconsin, at St. John's Lutheran School, where Principal Tom Rosenau wrote to share a project that he had had his students work on that fit exactly with our contest announcement. He said, "I was delighted to see the Christmas coloring episode because he had just asked his students, which I'm pretty sure are upper grades 6 through 8, that they were doing the exact same thing, generating coloring book pages of the Christmas story." And he shared those. So we have a batch full of entries already and some really excellent coloring book pages that kind of form the seed of our Wells Tech crowdsourced coloring books. So it's not too late to get your entry in. You can email your coloring book pages, preferably in PDF format, to us here at wellstech.wells.net. And we will circle back in January. We're excited to give away some Wells swag, and it could be yours. So maybe the Christmas break is a good time to experience coloring book AI. And yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes with different resources and things explained. So you don't have to start from scratch. There's already ideas and resources behind it that are free to use.
Suggested prompts and those kinds of things. Yep. Very good. And thank you, Tom, for sharing that. That was a nice surprise to see that in our inbox almost immediately. So very
We're
cool.
on the same wavelength.
Yep. Very cool. All right, that is going to about do it for this week's Christmas special. And looking forward to 2026, we're going to plow ahead. Year 19 of our podcasting journey, Sally. I don't know how that happened. Just kind of looked
Thought we
around and
started yesterday.
they were 18 years behind us. So the first episode of the year will be kind of a retrospective, looking back. Maybe we'll look forward to, but it's always fun to kind of look at our picks and ministry resources and favorite interviews, those kinds of things. So we'll be kind of looking back and reminiscing a little bit about 2025 and then jumping into 2026. So hope that all of you come back for that journey with us in year 19 of the Wells Tech podcast. Thanks everybody for joining us. Have a very, very blessed Christmas and New Year as well. See you soon. Bye-bye.